day right.
Just right.
It's the morning show.
Early in the morning.
With Carol, Josh, and Jill on Kiss 92.
Good morning. This is the morning show with Carol, Josh, and Jill, brought to you by Caro. I managed to get 7 hours of sleep last night.
Woohoo!
I'll tell you how I did it. It's a hack. It's a secret. I finally got it down.
Okay.
You got blackout curtains.
I'll tell you coming up. Also, how do we feel about brunch?
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, love it.
Because
yeah.
People think, oh, brunch is a Western type of thing. You know, we love our breakfast.
No. When I say brunch, I'm not thinking about eggs, Benny. I'm thinking about laksa.
Wow.
Because every time, like, when we go for breakfast, right, 8 a.m., my mom's like, it's too early to eat laksa. Your stomach will hurt. So I wait for about, 11 o'clock.
Oh, and then
laksa.
Brunch, Carol.
I love brunch, especially when it's, like, at a buffet.
Ooh.
Oh, my gosh. And then sometimes there's a bit of champers in there as well.
What about at the National Gallery?
Ooh.
This is a dining voucher from The Great Mischief that we're giving away in just a bit. This is worth $100.
It's the morning show with Carol, Josh, and Jill on Kiss 92.
Now, if you have been struggling to get 7 to 8 hours of sleep, because we did this statistic before about how many Singaporeans are actually not getting the good amount of sleep that they deserve. They're so focused on working hard or staying up late at night. Last night, my Wi-Fi not working.
Right.
So you couldn't surf the net, you couldn't scroll through anything.
Don't y'all have a ritual? Because I know a lot of my friends, they'll scroll TikTok and then they'll fall asleep from it.
No.
Sometimes I'm on the internet, but most of the time I'm on Netflix. Like, I'm watching something and then I fall asleep.
But that's so serious though. When you watch a Netflix show, you're like, you're focused.
So I put on something funny like Friends. So I usually fall asleep during a comedy.
Actually, when I was a kid growing up, I would have the VCDs of Friends and I would just play in the background and then fall asleep to that as well. So I think it's like a habit to always have something running. But we've heard this before, the blue light or something, it keeps
you
awake.
Good.
Yeah.
So last night my Wi-Fi went out. I don't know what's going on. Even my condo today, there's not going to be water at all.
Oh no.
Yeah,
what kind of ghetto are you living in?
I know. They said no water, no Wi-Fi. So I'm going to take this moment to meditate.
So today never bathe, right? You come to work?
No. From 11 to 4,
no water
in the condo. So I'm going to the gym to shower, okay? But word of advice, if you have some trouble with switching off the phone before going to sleep, just cut the Wi-Fi at a certain time. You have no choice. You don't want to waste your 4G, right?
Start your day right. It's the morning show with Carol, Josh, and Jill on Kiss 92.
So this year, the Humble Text message actually turns 30 years old.
What? Huh. We've been texting for 30 years now?
Yeah. Does it feel like 30 years to you, or do you think it's been around for like forever?
No. I don't believe that. Yeah, I feel like it's been a lot shorter.
Yes.
Yeah.
30 years, I mean, we would have been 2 years old when the first text message was sent.
Yeah, because during my generation, when I was a child, right, there was just no way to send a text message to anyone.
Yeah.
If you made an appointment to meet somebody at 6 o'clock at, say, Orchard MRT or whatever,
you
have to be there.
Yeah.
There's no way I can send a text to say, hey, I'm running late, or whatever. You just have to turn up. Or if not, you end up waiting. A lot of us ended up waiting for like 1 or 2 hours for our friends.
So fake news, how can it be that 30 years ago
on December 3rd was the first time a text message was sent by Neil Papworth. He was a 22-year-old test engineer for a company called Seamer Group.
Okay.
And the first text to a mobile phone was sent in 1992 from his personal computer to the Vodafone network to the phone of Richard Jarvis. And the very first message?
Jarvis.
Hi.
No.
Testing.
Merry Christmas.
Aww.
That is so sweet. Yeah, because I remember me being a kid, I think my dad still had a pager. Y'all remember that?
Yes.
So it wasn't until like later on, like primary school, then people started texting. So this was the first ever text message.
Yeah.
It took a while for it to, be tested, trialed, and then roll out mobile phones
and stuff. So December 3rd, remember the day. Also, I think people got pretty creative with the pager. They would use the numbers to send messages.
Are you serious?
Like 07734 is hello, upside down.
This is some SOS thing,
Yeah.
What's happening?
You didn't know about this?
No.
Oh my gosh, yeah. We would use the numbers to create messages.
Wow.
Yeah. 143 was I love you.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So, do y'all have your pagers still? Anyone? Y'all still keep your pagers at home?
I probably have one lying around. Probably doesn't work.
I could sell it.
Wow, really?
I
sell to you Christmas, you want?
Why not? Like a little relic from the past?
You deserve a good day. You deserve the morning show with Carol, Josh and Jill on Kiss 92.
At what point do you try something and then just realize, hey, maybe I'm the problem. Maybe I'm just not good at this.
Wow, anti-hero Taylor Swift vibes.
Yeah, so here's the story, right? So Joe Jonas apparently told Just for Variety that years ago he went up for the part of Spider-Man. Yeah,
Joe Jonas as Spider-Man.
He was going up for the Andrew Garfield part, so the Amazing Spider-Man, right?
Okay.
So he would have been in three Spider-Man flicks, opposite Emma Stone. And he was like, my acting coach was my current wife, Sophie Turner. We were friends back then already. Yeah. No, nothing romantic, just friends. And I was going for this very lengthy casting process. And I was asking, hey, is this normal or not? I already went for my casting. I already tried out, but he keep calling me back. So she's like, you know, that's a good thing.
Yes.
That means you're still in the running.
Yeah.
So, you know, try these tips and try those tips. And he listened to her, didn't get the part, went to Andrew Garfield. Later, as we all know, she went on to the biggest show in the world, Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
And Joe Jonas is like, no, but I still believe I can act. Mm. I still believe that acting is for me.
But we haven't seen him in anything.
Exactly. So at what point does he think, she gave me the tips, I couldn't do it, but she was in Game of Thrones and Andrew Garfield became Spider-Man. Maybe acting's just not for me.
It wasn't meant to be. Look, Andrew Garfield ended up a beautiful romance with Emma Stone for that period of time as well. And I feel like it fits Andrew Garfield. And you're going for... See, Joe Jonas, we've seen him act in Disney Channel movies. He's like
tragic.
Camp Rock.
Yes.
You know, like, you're going for a role like that. Maybe you can get it, but versus Spider-Man, you're going for the big ones, you know?
Yeah.
So it's a little bit tricky. And you gotta remember, when Sophie Turner got Game of Thrones, it wasn't the biggest show in the world, yeah?
Mm.
They recently revealed a cast photo of how they all look. They're like children wearing cardigans and everything.
Oh my.
Compare it to the cast of House of Dragon. Everyone looks like red carpet ready. Game of Thrones had a slow burn success through word of mouth.
Mm.
So it's all about perspective. You gotta give it time.
But also maybe Joe Jonas is too good looking for the role of Peter Parker.
I also say.
Yeah.
He is gorgeous though.
He's supposed to be like nerdy a little
bit. Exactly.
You know?
Like guy next door, very average.
Yes. I see Joe Jonas, you're Spider-Man. Confirm.
Carol just got married. Jill is a new mom. And Josh says he's forever alone. Not anymore. The Morning Show, 6 to 10 a.m. every weekday on Kiss 92.
Let's pop off right now the biggest entertainment news in pop culture today. A lot of our favorite Christmas jingles have already appeared on the Billboard Hot 100 in the top 10. We're like... less than a month away, but I thought we would hit December and then the songs would come in, right?
Yeah.
But Mariah Carey, All I Want for Christmas Is You is already at number 5.
Cool.
So, confirm
she's going for it.
Another number one. Also, favorites like Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree. That one not very popular here.
Rockin' Around. Yeah, no, not really.
No.
Then what about the Backstreet Boys' new song?
I don't think that one's charting.
It's not charting
as well.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's a lot of the classic favorites Christmas songs.
They remade a classic, right? Last Christmas, but it's a very set song.
It's all the old versions of it, the original versions that are charting.
Ooh. Hey, talking about Christmas, do you guys love the movie Love Actually?
Love it.
Do you watch it every year?
Yes.
Okay, I know some people make it a tradition to watch it every year. And Hugh Grant recently opened up about the difficulties he faced filming one of Love Actually's best known scenes. Can you guess which one?
The dancing scene.
Yeah, exactly. He actually said he was trying to get out of filming that particular scene. And everybody loves it. It's the one where he's, because he plays a prime minister, right?
Yeah.
So he's actually at 10 Downing Street, the Prime Minister's office, and then he's dancing to Jump by the Pointer Sisters, and then he's spotted by a member of staff, right? Then this awkward moment ensues, and he says, I didn't fancy doing the dance at all, let alone rehearsing it, and the director says he kept trying to get out of it, kept saying no, but in the end, it's one of the most memorable scenes in Love Actually. But is the dance scene a yay or a nay for you guys?
I like it,
because it's completely out of character. When you see someone who's a minister like that, you're like, whoa, you're doing like human, normal, everyday things. You're seeing joy out of them. And I think that's something that we need to normalize, you know, seeing people as more than the roles that they play.
Yeah, just made his character very endearing. I mean, but fun fact, he was actually out of time, like not even dancing in sync to the music, which makes it more believable and relatable, right? Now, there's actually going to be a Love Actually reunion that will air today in the US, and it will feature interviews with the cast and creators of the popular Christmas rom-com. No plans for the special to air here or even in the UK just yet.
You can find a link on YouTube somewhere.
Mm.
Confirm one, okay? Another movie to add to the Christmas list this year.
Rise and shine!
Start your day right.
Just right.
It's the morning show.
Earlier in the morning.
With Carol, Josh, and Jill on Kiss 92.
Good morning. This is the morning show with Carol, Josh, and Jill, brought to you by Caro. So we learned something about Jill here.
Mm.
She has a fear of
lizards.
Oh, that I do as well. I think that's very rational.
Yeah.
But there is a fear that I think we didn't see coming. You're a radio DJ, you listen to music all the time, but she cannot handle harmony.
Yeah, or a cappella singing. We're just talking about pentatonics and how they've got so many amazing Christmas tunes.
She can't
deal with harmonies and a cappella music.
Yeah. I don't like it. Like when they make the instrument noises with their mouth.
Like
I hate it.
Yeah.
It's just the worst. Yeah. It makes my whole being uncomfortable. It makes my stomach feel strange. Like, you know when you're on a roller coaster, that kind of vertigo feeling?
Yeah.
It's just awful.
Yeah. There's a name for that.
Apparently, it's not like just, oh, she doesn't like it. Mm. It's like she has like a reaction to it. Like when people sing Christmas carols in groups with all the layers and harmonies, choirs, she gets very affected by it. She's like,
just thinking about it.
Right now. But apparently, there is a actual phobia for this, right?
Yes, it's called mellophobia. I went to do a bit of Googling. And it's someone who has unusual fear or is unusually sensitive to sudden changes in pitch and tone. So that's the one that feels kind of closest to what you're experiencing.
Yeah, it's very mushy, like Boys to Men. You know, they always like acapella. Oh, my hair, I don't like it.
We're going to talk about some of the strangest fears and maybe some of them you might actually have. We might be able to give you an actual diagnosis of what that fear is.
A new voice, a new look, a new morning. Join Carol, Josh, and Jill on The Morning Show, 6 to 10 a.m. every weekday on Kiss 92.
Chance for us to understand our fears, hopefully to overcome them. So during Christmas time, Jill gets the shivers anytime a group gathers to sing a Christmas carol.
Yeah, when there's too many harmonies, and then when they start making that silly noise with their mouth, like, it's just horrible. It makes no sense to me.
Yeah, so the thing is, it's not that you don't like it. You have like an actual reaction to it. It's
a physical reaction. It's a very strong discomfort. I'm not scared of it. It makes my skin feel strange. I'm not going to scratch myself to get the feeling away
it's
from me.
The same way many of us feel with the different phobias that we have. I think,
exactly.
Carol, you've got something down for that, right?
Yeah. So what Jill has is mellophobia. She's also afraid of, not afraid, but sensitive to ordinary human sounds like chewing or breathing.
Yeah,
you know those chewing noises?
Worst.
That's misophobia or misophonia. I'm going to play a little phobia game with you guys and you guess what it actually is. Now, there's something called plutophobia. Do you think this is the fear of wealth or the fear of space?
Space.
No, Pluto. It's the fear of wealth.
Oh.
Some
fear
people
of money.
Yeah. Isn't it bizarre?
So I want to give you a raise. No thanks. I'm afraid of it.
I have plutophobia.
No bonus.
Okay, so there's also mechanophobia, which is the fear of machines or the fear of small animals.
Machines.
Oh,
yes.
I don't know why, but small animals just creep me out now.
So
now
that's the thing.
Oh, hamsters, stop it.
All right, there's also chromophobia, which is the fear of shiny objects or the fear of colors.
Oh, shiny objects.
Can't go clubbing like that.
It's actually the fear of colors. Oh. Chromophobia.
Okay.
Isn't that interesting? I have a I don't know what my phobia is. I forgot to Google in the midst of finding out Jill's one. But I have a fear of certain textiles. Like, you know, the nylon kind of school bag that makes that scratchy noise. Like, just thinking about it is making my hands very clammy.
Oh,
like, you can see
no.
It's like all sweaty right now. Yeah, just touching it. I don't know why this is on the bag I'm using right now. But yeah, the thought of that just makes me... Ooh.
Okay, so the most common fears in the world, though, are fear of heights and public speaking.
Yes.
So I will say, with public speaking at number one, I think a lot of us have had to overcome that through the workplace, making
friends,
dating as well. You know, so I do think that in time we can actually overcome our fears. It just takes a little bit of understanding, a bit of sensitivity from everyone.
You make a good point. I think it can be overcome. You know, slowly, slowly, they tell you, just slowly expose yourself to it bit by bit. And then before you know it, you'll be kind of okay.
So I have a fear of bandung.
What?
Bandung.
Yeah. There's something about bandung that freaks me out. It's pink. It's a pink drink with milk in it.
Oh, yeah.
So like, strawberry milk also you cannot?
Oh, no, I can't. Like, to me, it's just like, why would you drink that?
It's yummy. Strawberry milkshakes are the bomb.
Bandungophobia.
Bandungophobia.
If you have something like that in your life, something around you that's very common, but it just...
I don't like toes either.
Toes?
Yeah.
On your feet.
Oh, my gosh. If someone's toes touch
You get freaked out by that?
Yeah, no. I can feel it. Like, because
I have friends who love posting pictures of their feet.
Yeah, so
yeah,
you can't.
Yeah, their profile picture is feet.
No, you just thinking, deal. Like, because your toes are always like 2 degrees colder than the rest of your body.
Is it really?
I don't know.
Backed by science.
Doesn't, like, the baby toe is them disgusting.
So when you and Casey have like an argument, don't you do the toe touching thing at night?
No,
as a way of like, I'm sorry.
So you don't get foot reflexology, nothing.
My toes are fine. I just don't want anyone else's toes to touch me.
All right, let us know if you've got like a strange phobia of fear that maybe you want to understand a little bit more today. WhatsApp us 8855-0920. In return, we're going to dress you up, not your toes, however. This is a shopping voucher from As Intended worth $100 for you.
Okay, so we got a KISS fan texting in to say, I've got a fear of butterflies or anything fluttery like dragonflies. And that fear of butterflies is actually called lepidopterophobia.
I actually know someone who's scared of butterflies specifically. Is the fact that the wings are too soft. She can't take it.
Oh, they're afraid of it brushing against your face or your skin.
I think there was like a section of it in the zoo last time when I was a kid. It's like a butterfly walk or something.
Fragile forest.
I was so scared. And then here's what happened. My teacher said, don't move, just stand still.
And
just
then all of them came to you.
And then they came to me. And then even when it landed on me, she said, don't move, just be calm. And then after that fear went away. Oh. I realized that actually, they're just moving around, lah.
But also the teaching of you to be calm around that. So you control your fear, you control your anxiety, or rather, instead of it controlling you.
Because in my mind, they're like trying to bite me. They're like bats or something. And then you realize they are just flying.
Yeah, they're
just
harmless.
Yeah, they're moving around.
Just want to say hi, hello.
Yeah.
Have a good morning. Charlene says, good morning, Carol, Josh and Jill. I have a fear of heights, like a serious case. I was once on the Singapore Flyer. I couldn't go to the windows to see the view. I was literally shaking the whole way while we were going up. And that fear of heights is actually called acrophobia.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes, as much as face your fears, get over them, sometimes don't lah.
Oh.
Like, if you're truly scared of heights and you've tried a couple of times to overcome it, just avoid heights.
Yeah.
Don't force your friend to go on the Singapore Flyer or do bungees or whatever. Just, like, you know, Kim Kardashian, she has arachnophobia. And she's like,
spiders.
I am fine with this. I don't need to be I don't need to be okay with spiders. I'm happy being scared of them.
Yeah, at the core of it, science-wise, phobia is supposed to protect you.
Yes.
The fear is supposed to tell you that there's impending danger ahead of you, and therefore you must protect yourself. Like my fear of snakes, I'm not gonna go and pet a snake. I don't have any business with snakes. You know what I mean? And that's good. It's kept me away from sharks as well, from swimming in the open water.
Do you know what's interesting about the fear of heights though? I have a friend who actually does have this fear of phobia, and she couldn't swim. She couldn't go to the pool because of the depth.
Moment it starts to affect you, like even just looking out of your house window gives you that shiver already, then that's something that, okay, now it's starting to cross into my daily life. So just enjoying scenery, for example. I want to go for a hike. I want to enjoy the view.
But respect to this friend though, she actually started taking swimming lessons. Oh, and today she can swim.
Okay.
Yeah.
No matter what, you can overcome them if you want to, just over time.
Carol brings the laughter. Josh brings the facts. Jill brings the wet wipes. Cause she's a mom. The Morning Show with Carol, Josh and Jill on KISS 92.
How great it is to be the grandchild, not the child of your parents, okay? So here's what happened. I went to my parents' house yesterday. In the living room, there's a picture of my daughter. Okay, cute, you know, their first grandchild.
Yeah.
I'm going to my dad's office. There's another picture of my daughter. Okay, cute. Aww. You know, he's working with a purpose for the next generation. I go into my parents' room. There's three pictures of my daughter.
None of you.
Where am I? The creator of this child. I am nowhere in the house. The house is just filled with pictures of my kid.
You know where it is, Jill?
Where?
It's under the picture of your daughter. It was once upon a time.
It was me. And then they replaced it with the dog. And then they replaced it with Lily.
Okay, so I understand what you're feeling, you know, where...
I think it's very rude of my parents to be doing this.
You think that this is an indicator that they don't actually love you as much. You need to understand, okay, you need to understand. Your daughter, right, is an extension of you.
Okay.
So when your parents, love your daughter, put
like
up photos everywhere, he's actually also thinking of you.
Okay.
You know, he looks
Do we really know that though?
You call him. He will look at Lily and be like, my daughter gave me this girl. You know, see, you're part of the conversation actually.
No. And like, more proof, when you were younger, you think back, right? When you were younger and you go to the coffee shop with your parents, you know, you have dinner, your parents goes, what do you want to eat? And I go, I want Western food. No lah, Western food too expensive, you eat chicken rice. My daughter has this obsession with cows. So she's like, oh, Mumu Kao, everything Mumu Kao. They brought her to Marche.
Oh, wow.
Just because the
there was a big cow there, yes, in front.
The mascot of Marche is a cow. So they brought her to Marche. Oh, look, it's a Mumu Kao. I thought that was it. We're just going to take a picture of the cow. And no, we're eating. Because
okay.
Lily likes it. Oh, help me.
I have another theory.
What?
And I think this is the correct one.
What?
Because when you think back, a lot of us actually, our grandparents loved us more than they loved our parents.
No, my grandma used to beat me also.
Oh, yo. Okay, so I think what happens is sometimes the grandparents, they look at their children and they have a level of shame. They're like, I should have done better. I could have done better.
Uh-huh,
and then
uh-huh.
now they see the youngest one, they have a chance to try again. That's what your dad is doing.
But never pay for me, you know. So I met them at Marche and they're like, oh, you gonna eat also? I'm like, I haven't had dinner yet, man. So I had to pay for my own food while they paid for my daughter.
I think this Christmas, start by giving them a picture of you in a nice frame. A few. Think about a few, okay? Maybe three or four. Place around the house.
I'll find the corner he'll place it.
Yeah,
you know,
man.
Actually, we're going to talk more about this coming up, okay? These kind of little squabbles that happen over Christmas, over the Christmas gatherings. How do we solve them if we should at all? We'll chat more in just a bit.
They don't just get you to work. They get you to your happy place. The Morning Show with Carol, Josh, and Jill. Kiss 92.
Now, it happens. Even though it's the most wonderful time of the year, even when you've got great friends and family members around, things can sometimes go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit of friction, stuff that you swept under the rug comes out. Secrets. How do you deal with these kind of squabbles that happen over Christmas? How to protect Christmas, everyone?
Well, you either shut down the conversation or you perpetuate it. You let it happen so that everyone can just get it out of their system.
Wow.
Yeah, I think you have to recognize what your family dynamic is when they get together. Are they usually like this or is this something unusual? If like a squabble happens then and it doesn't usually happen, then I think you would want to shut it down.
Okay,
yeah.
So I've done the whole shutdown thing where I'm like, okay, we can do this. There's a time and place for it. Now is not the time or place for it. Okay, it is Christmas. We're here to enjoy ourselves. So
especially
please stop.
Especially if you are the host,
yeah.
This is happening in your house, I think then yes, you have the right to shut it down.
I've had to kick someone out of the house once before.
Whoa, yeah. Really?
Not even joking, a family member some more. I just said like, you're not coming to our house and doing this to make my other guests feel like this.
Wow.
You need to leave.
Mm.
We will talk over another day, but not right now. Okay, but interesting, you're saying also at the same time, maybe it's a good idea to thrash it out.
Yeah, just let it go.
All right.
Because maybe they need to talk it out. And sometimes as family, we don't meet often enough. And so when you do finally meet, and then, you know, maybe Christmas time, a bit of drinky-drinky, everyone gets a bit vocal.
That's your solution.
And then they don't remember.
Correct.
Oh, really? Did I say that last year?
You give them two drinks. That's when they've got the courage to broach the subject.
Yeah.
Then they get a little bit heated, right? Then you give them more drinks, then they get sleepy.
Oh.
Then you give them more drinks, then you erase the memory.
The turkey is that bad, are you? Talk to me like that.
The Morning Show with Carol, Josh, and Jill. It's pretty wild. Kiss 92.
What's your problem? Okay, if you have a problem that needs a solving this Christmas period, let's solve it for you. WhatsApp us 8855-0920. Arun says he's holding a Christmas party at his house.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully we'll invite us. Okay, it's a 2-day event and he told his guests
two days,
choose which day you want to come. There'll be food there. But Arun says one of my friends wants to come for both days. How do I tell that person choose one?
Why not? Unless it's different groups of people.
Yeah, but at the same time, you know, it's like, okay, choose one. Otherwise, I have to feed you again. You take up space in the house also.
That's his fault. He should have just told one group of friends, okay, this is the day. And the other group of friends, this is the day.
Don't give options.
Don't give options. Why are you giving options?
Just so that, you know, in case you only can make it for one of the days, flexible dates,
who would have thought this person
can choose both?
You, as the host, you dictate. Okay, the party is on the 10th. Come after 3 o'clock. You don't leave it up to the guests.
I don't think Arun's going to be that hard up to want to attend both days, right? Especially if the host tells him no.
Okay. All right, so Elizabeth says, what are your thoughts, everyone, on people opening presents right in front of you?
Oh, okay. So this is very triggering for me. I don't like it. I was brought up with not opening presents in front of people because it's rude, right?
Is it?
Yeah, like what if you don't like the present and you got to, oh,
Well, wow. That's how I was brought up. But then sometimes people want you to open the present. If they tell me, open it now. I'm like, okay, I'll open it now. And I enjoy that, actually. I really do.
I know that Boxing Day is when you're supposed to do it. So the day after Christmas is when the family will gather around the tree and open all the Christmas presents.
Boxing Day?
Right, that's how it is, right?
No, you open on Christmas Day.
Oh, yeah. Oh, so Boxing Day is what?
I don't know.
You keep the boxes, like, you put the boxes aside, go and recycle or something like that.
Yeah, but my husband's family does that. Like, every birthday, they're like, okay, now we're opening presents and everyone has to sit and watch this child for 1 hour try to unwrap a present. I'm like, do we have to?
It's funny when the kid gets obsessed with the box, the packaging, more so than the present.
No, the wrapping paper. They just want to play with the wrapping paper.
They don't really care about the gift that you bought.
If you're holding a Christmas party on, say, the 10th of December, I have to wait 15 days to hear you react to it. No! If I give you a gift, open it right now in front of me so I can see your reaction. That's the only reason I'm buying you a gift.
Yes, I would
hate
do that.
I just get so pressured. Like, open it, open it. I'm like, oh, wow.
Hey, I had a friend whose family tradition was to open presents on New Year's Day.
No.
Yeah, so I had to wait an entire week to open their presents.
Rachel texted in saying she's very annoyed at her friends because they also still, even right now, want to do Zoom meetings for Christmas gatherings. It's like, they say it's more convenient.
Are they overseas?
No, in Singapore.
No, that's terrible.
So I can't come for your Christmas party, but we can chat over Google Meets.
What? Ew, what was that stupid thing they used to have? The house
party. House party.
That's terrible.
Right, we all had to do that because the circumstances were as such. Yes. But now that we're able to go to each other's houses and visit, I mean, unless it's a health concern of yours, try your best not to give in to the laziness of just staying at home.
Yeah, I mean, it was fine for COVID, but now that you can meet again, why not? However, having said that, if the majority of your family want to meet online, then what you gonna do?
What? Don't friend them.
They don't want to meet physically because they're too tired or something like that.
No wonder. You don't need these people in your life. Okay, so my dilemma.
Oh.
Personal dilemma, right?
Wow, wow.
My sister's birthday is on Christmas Day. It's on the 25th. And she's also just moved into her new house. So she's having a Christmas / birthday / housewarming party. How many presents do I get?
Two.
Huh?
Birthday plus house love.
Yeah.
Two.
Or you combine. You know, you get really expensive gift.
Like Dyson vacuum.
Hey, Dyson. Dyson. We here at KISS 92, not only do the DJs love you, our families love you too, Dyson.
There are actually a lot of people I know whose birthdays fall on like a big festive period.
Correct.
And they get very stressed out because it's like, I want my attention for me, please, for my birthday. Yes. But then you always like mix it up with Merry Christmas as well.
Okay, but what is your sister's love language?
Oh, I don't know.
If it's gifts, you have to buy two. No choice.
What?
If it's gifts. But if it's acts of kindness or service, then you get her one birthday gift and then you go and clean her house.
Oh, no, 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 no.
As an act of kindness.
No.
What's the affirmation?
I'll buy the presents.
You send her a long text. But I do think it's good, lah. I think to separate the gifts, just like, you know, this one's for Christmas and then you open only on Christmas Day. This one's for you.
Because you're quite particular about gifts, aren't you? Would you want two gifts?
I would love gifts.
So there you go.
There you go.
Okay.
Make her smile. Make her smile. More Christmas problems. Let's go.
All right. So I have a very huge extended family with lots of young children. I, however, have no kids. Mm-hmm. So every time I go to this huge party, am I expected to bring gifts for all the kids?
Yeah.
No.
I mean, if really? Because I have no kid. If I had a kid myself, I would buy presents for all the kids there. But I have no kids. So I give the presents, but I don't get any back.
Okay, you want to be the cool aunt, right? You want to be the cool Auntie Carol's here.
But remember, these are extended family members.
Yeah. So you
like
don't
aunties, uncles, and their children.
You buy one big packet of something. You know those mommy biscuits, right?
Oh my god!
Then I will not be the most liked auntie.
That's the worst. Okay, so my mom's rule of thumb is if you are in primary school, you get a present.
Yeah.
Once you're in secondary school, maybe I'll give you like an ang pao, perhaps.
Right. Mm.
But once you're out of school and you're working, no, no, no. You're on your own.
Okay.
So definitely, if they're in primary school, at least get them a present, like Cotton On shirt or something.
Yeah, yeah. But you gotta think, what do kids want, right? They want like extra
exactly.
points for their
it
Mobile Legends.
It changes from year to year.
League
it could be
Legends.
Like a Beyblade and then the following year it's another
thing.
No,
that,
and
that's
another
why
thing.
Something generic, like, you know, a Cotton On shirt or Cotton On pajamas. You know, they're not, if they don't like the shirt, they're not gonna wear it out. But pajamas, most people will just sleep in. So.
I like the idea of pencils.
Rise and shine!
Start your day right.
Just right.
It's the morning show.
Early, early in the morning.
With Carol, Josh, and Jill on Kiss 92.
You're on the morning show with Carol, Josh, and Jill, brought to you by Caro. You know, sometimes you see a movie poster and then you decide, will I watch it? Will I not watch it? I was not going to see Black Adam until Carol started evangelizing this movie.
It's such a great movie. I wasn't sure if The Rock was going to be able to carry out this hero role.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, she just took it to the next level. It's such a roller coaster of fun, Black Adam. You got to watch it. And he's kind of like an anti-hero. He doesn't want to be a hero, but he turns out being a hero anyways.
Okay.
Yeah, and in real life, he's also turning out to be a hero in so many ways.
All right, we'll tell you a beautiful story to lift your spirits, even inspire you today, all from the help of Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Be happy. Be you. The Morning Show with Carol, Josh, and Jill. Kiss 92.
Now, many of us grew up with the WWF, the WWE, and we would know The Rock as a wrestler first, right? And even then, he was known as the People's Champ. And now in Hollywood, he's like the People's Actor, right? His movies make a lot of money, but also people just love him. They look up to him as a fitness guru, as a family man, and he won the hearts of many yesterday by doing something very, very sweet.
Yeah, you know how he's recently playing Black Adam,
yes,
a superhero? Now he has also decided to correct an injustice that has haunted him for decades. Now, for an entire year when he was 14 years old, Dwayne Johnson recalls going to the local 7-Eleven in Hawaii and stealing a king-size Snickers bar before heading to the gym. And that's because his family struggled financially. He didn't have money to purchase a candy bar. But he recalled the store cashier turning her head every day and letting him get away with a small theft. But in a social media post, he actually said he has lived with the heaviness of the petty theft decision for many decades. So he really feels bad. And he recently returned to Hawaii for the first time in many years. And he went to the store to correct his wrongs. He went and bought every single Snickers bar on the shelf.
Oh, gee.
I thought it would be a bigger gesture, you know, but still.
Do you know, if you steal from these convenience stores, when they take stock, it comes out from the cashier's pay.
Yeah.
So he should have just paid back the woman, not contributing to an already multi-million dollar industry.
I don't think in this case it was a franchise chain. I think it's one of those mama shops, and that's why the auntie had the liberty to just look away.
Maybe she owns the 7-Eleven.
Yeah, she probably understood, okay, this boy doesn't come from much, I will just close my eyes as long as he doesn't steal anything else. You know what I mean? Okay, first of all, he bought all the Snickers bars for himself. It was more of like he had to do this for himself that now I'm able to buy. But yeah, I think maybe secretly he would have given that lady some money or tracked her down.
Yeah, track her to Hawaii. Come on, just track her down, give her the money, give her the candy bars.
But it also sets a good example for people who look up to The Rock. You know, it's never too late to go and make restitution for the things you've done wrong in your life.
Apologize.
Yeah, exactly. Make things right.
Exactly. And also, you start from somewhere, you don't have to always end up there. I'm proud of where The Rock has, how far The Rock has come as well.
Time for a fresh start with Carol, Josh, and Jill. The Morning Show. Kiss 92.
Here's a little tip to get you through the week.
All right, so we're always saying, I have no time to exercise, no time for this, no time for that. Here's something you can do for 30 seconds.
Only.
For better health. Yes. And it's go walk in the sun. Just go for a daily walk for 30 seconds in the morning sun, okay? Not just any time of the day. It has to be done between sunrise and 9 a.m. And this will slash the chances of you developing most types of cancer significantly, according to some research coming out of the UK. And that's because at this time, between sunrise and 9 a.m., an NIR light, which is near infrared light, is invisible to the human eye and it's most effective at dawn. It cuts the odds of developing cancer from a 1 in 2 chance to a 1 in 10. That's huge.
Yeah.
Do this for 30 seconds every day instead of waking up, looking at your phone, step out into the sun. 30 seconds is all it takes.
I want to show love to the people that already do that very regularly. You know, Carol and I, Jill as well, we wake up very early to get to work and we actually see a lot of people already going on strolls or coming back from strolls. Like a lot of people love waking up first thing in the morning, they go for a walk, they stretch, they take in a bit of the morning sunlight. It is also, I think, very good for your mental health.
Yeah, so it's also doing this for the body. It actually prompts the body into releasing a flood of melatonin, which is a natural antioxidant. It's twice as powerful as vitamin E and it neutralizes toxins and prevents cancer-causing gene mutations.
All right.
Yeah.
When they say wake up early, early bird gets the worm, there's some truth in it, lah.
Good things come in threes.
Three, two, one.
Carol, Josh, and Jill. The Morning Show on Kiss 92.
Now, we know that feeling when you go for a concert the next day, even the day after, all you want to listen to is music from that artist, yep. right? So in the case of last night, packing the National Stadium, I want to take this moment to speak directly to Adam Levine, who probably just woke up in his hotel. Hello, Adam. Welcome to Singapore. Mm. Okay, don't just go to Gardens by the Bay.
No.
Go Woodlands.
Why?
Yishun. Hey, there are things
Pasar there. Malam, the biggest Pasar Malam.
Exactly. Go to, where else in Singapore? Tiong Bahru?
Jalan Sultan.
Joo Chiat.
Haji Lane Road.
Mm. We need to hire not just the fancy tour guides to take these artists around. Like, we need like an everyday Singaporean that
Nancy.
Hello,
yeah, Auntie Nancy.
Auntie Nancy from HR. Yeah. She's like, hi, I'm Nancy. Okay, I'm going to take you, Lady Gaga,
to eat ice kacang.
Ah, the kind of like the other things, okay? We went for Maroon 5's concert last night and we spoke to some of their biggest fans to hear their reaction. Here's what you had to say about Maroon 5.
My favorite part of the concert has to be when everybody got up because they thought that the concert ended, but it didn't, so the rest of us stood up and we danced around.
Ooh. Not gonna lie, my favorite part is when he took off his shirt. My favorite song was, oh my god, Sunday Morning.
She Will Be Loved, that's the first song that I fell in love with.
Sugar, the last song they played, oh my god, that was amazing. The energy was so high.
It was such an awesome concert. Thank you, Live Nation.
Ah, everything, we all needed that. We all needed that one big concert to close the year.
Yes, I got goosebumps just listening to those reactions because you can hear the sheer joy, yes. the happiness, the glee in their voices.
Exactly. And also, thank you for following Live Nation's advice. Y'all went in very smoothly.
Yes, well, exactly. Yeah? I'm still on Adam Levine taking off his shirt, being really sweaty. Oh. Yes.
You think he's sugar.
Still in Singapore?
I think so.
Maybe,
I think so.
Maybe he's tuned in.
Yeah.
Right, can you take off your shirt again?
Hello, Adam Levine.
WhatsApp. WhatsApp. Hey, send pics. 8855092.
Hey, if y'all see Adam Levine today.
Yeah, just take a picture.
And maybe he's at Haji Lane. Adam, they all Adam love watch. To go Haji Lane.
Mm-mm, Adam Watch. Huh? Or maybe look at the other band members and then you try to spot as well.
Name them.
Right? The drummer. Look for the drummer, okay. The bassist. Okay, the keyboardist. I'm sure they're there as well. Okay. The world is small, yet I never run into Beyonce. Can we please get Beyonce in Singapore for
She's
next year?
She's been here, though.
So has Maroon 5.
Yeah, but that's like old school. Like, I am Sasha Fierce. I want, like, right now. You won't gonna break my soul.
She's too busy, lah.
Okay, yeah. Taylor Swift. Can we get Taylor Swift next?
That would be epic. Come on, Live Nation. You can do it.
All right. Fingers crossed for 2023. We gave away tickets to Maroon 5 live in Singapore every single day on the show last week. Who is next? Keep it locked on to Kiss 92.
Honest conversations, the hottest stories, and the greatest tunes. The Morning Show with Carol, Josh, and Jill. Kiss 92.
Biggest entertainment news and pop culture today. Let's pop off.
All right, so there's been a lot of talk about who will be the next James Bond.
Yes.
Who are you rooting for?
Not a lady.
Wait, what?
I rumor has it it's going to be a woman, right?
Yeah.
Well, but you don't think, okay. Well, I'm hoping it's Idris Elba.
There was a lot of talk about that. I'm kind of hoping for Henry Cavill. Is it too late for Henry Cavill? I think he would make a great Bond. However, Aaron Taylor Johnson is allegedly the top choice to play Bond.
Is he British?
Aaron Taylor Johnson, yes, he's British. He's actually married to 50 Shades of Grey director Sam Taylor Johnson.
No,
you remember him from The Avengers?
Yes.
Ah.
I like him from...
The guy who runs very fast. Black Widow's brother.
Oh,
no, not Black Widow.
Quicksilver?
Yes, that's him. Scarlet Witch's brother.
Ah, okay. Well,
that's Aaron Taylor Johnson.
Yeah, I really like him from Kick-Ass.
Mm,
I thought
yes.
he was really good in that one.
So he's apparently impressed producers during an audition, and sources say he went for a screen test to be the next Bond, and producers loved him, so now he's one of the front runners.
He looks very boy next door, though.
No, no.
You don't think so?
If he looks like boy next door, I want to live next door to him.
Look, the thing about Aaron Taylor Johnson is that he can morph. He's got one of those morphy faces.
Oh
and
my
looks.
Gosh, he is beautiful.
He is. Really,
but he's, like, James Bond cannot be, like, beautiful. You know
Why
what I mean?
Why not?
Okay, yeah.
You get what I mean?
He's too pretty.
Yeah.
James Bond is manly, man.
No, he can look rugged, you guys. When he has a beard, right? Then it's a bit Daniel Craigy, but when he shaves, he looks like boy band type.
Yeah. Mm. He needs to go to like a long hike for like a month and then come back.
Well, I'm gonna watch that. I'm gonna watch that.
Okay.
I've always been a fan.
Bottom line.
Oh, boy.
In other news, so check it out, right? I love these stories about just shooting your shot because you never know what's gonna happen. A woman who is a fan of Lizzo when on her TikTok, her name is Marie. She says, Lizzo, I have an award show to go to in New York City. There's going to be a red carpet. Now, as a plus-sized woman, I'm sure that you are fully aware of the scrutiny and the hyper-visibility that comes with these kinds of events. Mm. No dresses fully fit us correctly. May I please, 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 please wear your 2022 Emmy dress? It's my favorite.
Are you serious?
And Lizzo sent it over. FedEx her dress over to her fan, yeah.
She's not just preaching about body positivity. Lizzo walks that walk as well. I gotta show love to the Yeti brand,
yeah,
which has sizes all the way from small all the way to multiple extra large, and that's all the point. That's the point, right? You want to be able to look at a mannequin, say, "I want to wear that," and they have it in your size as well.
And
as well.
Also, just go on Instagram and ask. You never know what's gonna happen. You may get it.
Go ahead, Chris. Chris, what?
Chris Evans.
Chrysanthemum.
Hello, I'm still here. I'm still here. Okay.
Wake up right with the morning show with Carol, Josh, and Jill on Kiss 92.
We hope you enjoy the show today. What did we learn? I'll start. Christmas can be a stressful time when you gather everyone together. I think there are a lot of families who don't meet regularly. Mm. So they take Christmas as, okay, now everyone come over. And sometimes a lot of the baggage that were not cleared up before gets brought up. Okay, just be calm. If you don't want to deal with it today, as the host, make it clear. Not in my house. Okay?
Okay, what I've learned also, I guess, we didn't really talk about this, but when it comes to Christmas, always invite.
Oh,
invite,
wow.
You know, invite that irritating auntie that you don't actually want to see. Mm. But invite first. Whether they come or not is up to them. If they don't come, at least you were the bigger person. You extended the invite.
Yes. I learned that it's never too late to go back and right a wrong. Just like The Rock, you know, after all these years, he's actually gone back and corrected an injustice that's haunted him for decades. You know, he was stealing those Snicker bars when he was 14. And now he's decided, I'll just go back and buy all the Snickers bars at the 7-Eleven in Hawaii. So it's never too late to right a wrong.
Exactly. You would think, right, someone as powerful and wealthy as The Rock, something like Snicker bars, stealing them as a kid, should have, you know, been shaken off by now. But no, it's haunted him all through these years, because that is a reminder of who he was, the crimes he had to commit because he didn't have any money.
Yeah.
He wanted to right that wrong. And I think it's never too late for us all as well.
It's The Morning Show with Carol, Josh, and Jill on Kiss 92.